Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy and excited to have Michelle Gordon back as my guest. Join us for a conversation to hear about her new book, The Girl Who Loved Too Much, and what it's like to live your music by being the author of 18 books. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm so excited to have you back on the show. And like we've talked about earlier, I feel like I've known you not just for this lifetime, but for a lot of lifetimes. And in reality, I think it's actually more like 4 years since you were on my show the first time. But I'm really excited to hear about your new book and to talk about what's going on with you and what life's like over for you in the UK versus what it's like here. I don't know. We have so many different things that we can talk about today. But I think, first of all, what's it like over there right now with the whole COVID thing? Is it still as locked down there in England as it is here?
No, they've kind of gone into more sort of local lockdowns in areas where there seems to be more of an issue. So for the most part, it's not an issue in most places. But there's still sort of like mandatory mask wearing in shops and things like that. But for the most part, I mean, you know, I'm very lucky to be living kind of in the middle of the woods, in the middle of nowhere. So for the most part, you can kind of just carry on as normal and you don't really notice. It's really only when you kind of then go out and about into town and around other people that you kind of go, oh, you know, something's going on. So I'm kind of quite lucky to be in a little bubble here and not really, you know, not really have to sort of think about it too much. But yeah, I think it has affected a lot of people in a lot of different ways. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, I found that, for me personally, at the beginning of the lockdown, when everything got cancelled and shut down, and it was kind of a case of, oh, right, okay, so now I need to make some money somehow. You know, my income kind of, you know, apart from book royalties, I wasn't getting anything. So, you know, I found I had to sort of, you know, get a job and, you know, do all these other things that I wouldn't necessarily have done if it hadn't been for the whole lockdown thing. But no, I mean, aside from that, it hasn't been too crazy. but it was very strange for a while driving around, because I was driving to work and literally not a soul on the road, nobody out. That was very bizarre. But it, you know, made me a bit spoiled then, because when people started being on the road again, I got quite impatient with people, because it's like, no, I don't want to do traffic. I like the roads to myself.
I can totally relate, because you're right. I mean, I think it was around mid-March that they started telling us that we couldn't do anything, and Dudley needed to take some pictures for a client in San Francisco, and we were in lockdown, and I thought we were going to get arrested if we went into the city.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I have to admit, I was kind of driving around thinking, oh my God, am I going to get stopped? You know, am I going to like get pulled over for driving out when nobody's supposed to be out? And so it was a bit kind of, yeah, it did make me quite anxious driving around. But I mean, I was driving through, you know, to work, you know, throughout the whole of lockdown. And I didn't see anybody, let alone anybody was going to stop me, you know. But yeah, so I was just still going to work and carrying on as normal, really. But to be honest, I would have quite happily have stayed at home. I would have.
Yeah.
I'd love to have stayed and got some writing done, but unfortunately I was one of the many people who kind of fell through the cracks and had absolutely no government support whatsoever, because just the way it worked out with being self-employed, I wasn't eligible, so I didn't really have much choice over it, really. I had to some money.
Well, you know, we were self-employed too, my husband and I, and he's had his business now for 40 years this year. We just celebrated 40th year in business, and it's been definitely a really weird year as far as work, but luckily we were already used to working from home, and so we're all set up here to do the graphic design and photography. And like I was saying, we had to go into San Francisco, and every once in a while we've had to go down to Santa Cruz or up to Davis or We even did one photo shoot up in Chico. But, you know, you just have to be careful and follow all the safety measures, the masks and sanitizing and everything. And after we got back from the Chico one, we got COVID tests, and we were luckily we were fine because our son Xander was here, had come up to visit, and he came up for a couple weeks, and so that was nice. I mean, we got to see him. And luckily, because his work's in animation, and he's going to be starting work in a few days. So, yeah, I don't know. I think we all have to totally. I've been reminding myself constantly. Xander's been reminding me. Dudley's been reminding me. Focus on your circle of control because, you know, I mean, we can't control what's going on all around the world, and it's just so wild that this is happening all over the world.
Yeah.
And so every day and many times throughout the day, I have to remind myself to get back into what I can actually do in the present moment, and I think we all need to do that, so... Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, you know, you kind of have to just, look at what, like you said, what you can control, what you can actually do. And because if you stop and think about it all too long, too much, I mean, you just go crazy. And I've kind of said to people throughout the whole of lockdown, throughout the whole situation, like, do what you need to do to stay sane. Because everybody's sort of saying, like, stay safe. And I just say, stay sane. because, you know, I think a lot of people's mental health has taken a huge hit throughout all of this because, as you know, I mean, isolation is one of the biggest issues, you know, that can cause all sorts of problems with mental health. And, you know, I've got quite a few friends who are very social, very active. They're out all the time and all of a sudden they're finding themselves on their own all the time in their homes. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's a lot to expect somebody to kind of be able to deal with. And, so yeah, it's just like, I'm like, whatever you need to do.
Healthy. Do whatever you can to stay sane. It's so true.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely. Yeah.
Even with you know, people call me positive and mental attitude person, and I am, you know. But I mean, even with that, it doesn't mean you don't notice that stuff's going wrong in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that
mm-hmm.
you try to focus on what you can control, what you can do, and you have to keep getting your attention back there. Because it's so easy to feel the fear and the uncertainty that's going on, and also to feel badly for the people who are having a hard time with it in whatever ways, you know, sanity or their actual health or whatever else. Hmm. Yeah, well, let's talk about your new book, because it does talk about different ways of looking at life and different realities. And I am so curious to read it. I have the review PDF, but I read just enough of it to know that I'm going to get it as soon as it comes out. And I want to read the actual book instead of on Kindle at least.
Yeah.
And, you know, lately I'm starting to like novels on Kindle better. But tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so
why you wrote it and what it's about.
Yeah, it's been a little while since it's been a little while since I've published one of my own books. Been so busy with the publishing company, like publishing other people's. And so this is the first book of mine that I've published since the end of 2018. So, yeah, I'm quite excited to actually get this one out. And so, yeah, normally with my books, I kind of get an idea or a concept or a scene and I start from there and I see what happens. But this book really did sort of come to life in a very different way to my normal way of working, which was quite interesting. And the first thing that came to me was the title of the book. So it just sort of, I don't know, I can't even remember what I was doing. I think I was actually rearranging my washi tape drawer. Do you know washi tape? It's like Japanese masking tape but with patterns on it. I have a slight obsession with it. I have a lot of it, and I think I was rearranging that when I had this idea, which is kind of bizarre. But so the title kind of came, I was just like, I basically had the thought, like, I wish I didn't love so many different things, you know. I wish I didn't kind of have so many different interests and so many different passions. And, you know, washi tape is just, you know, not even the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you know, there's so many things that I love collecting, that I love making, that I love creating, And so I kind of had this thought, and I was just like, oh, you know, I'm the girl who loves too much kind of thing. And I thought, oh, that's quite a cool title. I quite like that. And I kind of looked at it, you know, did a bit of research, and nobody had used the title, which I thought was really unusual. So I thought, right, you know, I'm going to use that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have a story for it. I didn't know what it would be about other than somebody who loved too many different things. And I did start to, so that was back in April 2019, it was back last year, and I started to put a few words down, but it wasn't quite there. It wasn't ready. I wasn't in the right kind of space for it. And so I kind of shelved it and left it. And then for NaNoWriMo last year, so November last year, so the idea is that you write 50,000 words in a month in 30 days. And so I thought, oh, I'll write this one for NaNoWriMo because I, you know, I still love the title and I love sort of like this idea of this person that loves too many different things. And so all the sort of actual story concept kind of came to me around about that time last year, mostly while I was walking around the woods up here, you know, in the middle of the in the middle of the Forest of Dean where I am. And it's sort of like the story just sort of started kind of coming through. And there's a part of the story as well that where this guy is singing a song, and I was even actually getting the song lyrics and the tune and everything. So I was kind of like walking around the woods just singing this song, which doesn't normally kind of happen when I write stories. You know, I don't normally get all this kind of extra stuff as well. But just the story just kind of developed in November last year. And I didn't finish it during NaNoWriMo last year. I actually finished writing it during lockdown. Managed to sort of, you know, get it written and everything. But yeah, it kind of just grew and developed, and things happened that I didn't imagine in the beginning. And in fact, my sort of initial concept when I first started writing it, and it ended up being quite different to that in the end, which quite often happens with my books, because I, as you know, I never really know where they're going to go. I never know what's going to happen. I kind of just start writing and see what happens, you know, what the characters do and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very much that the similar sort of thing, but the overall concept, a little bit like It's a Wonderful Life, you know, where he wishes that he never existed, and then the angels show him what his life, you know, what other people's lives would be like without him. And in a similar sort of fashion, with a bit of a modern twist, this girl kind of wishes, like I did that day, that she didn't like love so many different things and wasn't so busy all the time, but also, you know, struggling to kind of like survive because she spent all of her money on craft things, not at all autobiographical. And so she basically enters this alternate reality where, you know, her life is completely different. You know, she's minimalist. She has savings. She has money in the bank. You know, her life's quite different. So she experiences this completely sort of different reality, which would have been, you know, would have been her reality in, you know, in her other life, in her original life, if, you know, there was just a specific instance that happens when she's a small child, which then, you know, sparks this completely different world. So, but the idea is kind of looking at, you know, we always sort of think the grass is greener on the other side. We think that if only this one thing was different, everything would be great. And it's kind of exploring that idea, you know, if that one thing had changed everything, then how, you know, what would our life be like and what would we be like? And it's kind of exploring that sort of, yeah, alternate reality shift. A little bit like Sliding Doors. Did you ever see that movie?
No, I haven't seen that.
Quite old now. Gwyneth Paltrow.
I know what it is. I just haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, it's still a classic. It's still a really good one. It's like, yeah, the difference between her catching the train and missing the train and the events that happen after that point. It's like a split reality. It's definitely worth a watch. I mean, it's an old one now. But I just kind of wanted to explore, you know, what my life might have been like, I suppose. If I'd sort of taken a different path at some point.
I think we all wonder that at times, at least little bit. You know, I'm sure some people wonder it a lot more than others, but yeah, or I don't know. I just I can kind of relate to loving too many things.
Yeah.
I love a lot of things too, and you know, it just it keeps you happier, it keeps you saner. But you're right. I mean, when you do a lot of different things, and when creativity is so important to you, I've talked with several of my other creative friends about this, is that you can't necessarily get your money all in from one place. It comes from many sources.
Yeah.
And
which,
so,
I think diversifying your income is actually a really good idea. I don't think that, you know, you should rely on just one source of income, but problem with liking so many different things, do you then tend to spend a lot of money on different things? You know, whereas if you have one particular thing that you love and you're passionate about, you kind of pool everything into that one thing and you become really, really good at it. And, you know, whereas I do like to dabble, which is what Tony Robbins would call me, a dabbler for sure. We were talking about him just before, weren't we? And yeah, it's very much like I love trying out lots of different things, and I literally have so many craft projects on the go all at once. And my latest obsession, which again fed into the book, is letterpress printing. So the cover of the book is letterpress print, the wooden blocks. And so the main character, she prints cards and things. And the reason that got into the book is because that is my latest passion. and I now have 3 printing presses and all the stuff that goes with it, and, you know, spend all of my money on ink and all sorts of things that just to sort of add to all the many other hobbies that I already have. But
it's interesting. When I think about the letterpress too, because my husband's business, he's had it for 40 years, and so he's been through it back when they did things without computers, way before computers.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were doing the celebration card, the 40th Turnaround the Sun celebration card. And
I received that. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I had gotten all excited about it, going, "Oh, Dudley, we've got to do this. We've got to have each decade of 1980 to 1990 to 2000 to 2010 to 2020, you know, examples of that. And then the timeline of what was happening during those times with us and with the other things that were going on." And he didn't want to do it at first. He had created a really cool card for when the millennium changed, for the year 2000, that was similar, where it was accordion folded and you pull it out and there was a timeline that went, oh, God, I think it was like from 1,000 to 2,000 or something like that, you know, with all sorts of different things that had happened over the time. Not with us, just in general.
Yeah,
and then this incredible montage of all the different people that had been influential and things that had happened and inventions and so on and so forth. It was just, it was really cool. So anyway, I had said, you know, this is a really big thing. Let's create this card. And at first he didn't want to do it, but got into doing it, it was so cool. But, you know, letterpress and things like that are things that were more popular back when he started out. And sometimes he would have to have letterpress people if somebody wanted to have a new name put on their business cards of a new employee, you know, I mean, that sort of thing. It's like, it's crazy. But you're using it to create more like inspirational cards, right? Kind of like,
more sort of arty kind of. You know, I'm not doing sort of really technical things, mainly because I've mostly taught myself how to do it. You know, I've had help from other letterpress printing people, but it's very much experiencing a revival right now. I mean, there's a massive community on Instagram that I follow so many people who do letterpress printing. And but they're just such an amazing community of people. Like, I've never known a crafting community to be so supportive and inclusive and encouraging. You know, literally, you know, everybody's welcome. Everybody, because I think some of the ones who have been letterpress printing for decades, they're just so excited to see people doing it. You know, in whatever way that they're interpreting it, that they're just really encouraging of it. You know, I've met some guys who've been printing for forever, And they're just like, yeah, your stuff's amazing. It's great. Keep going, you know. And I think it's just, yeah, the fact that it's experiencing this revival is quite incredible, really. And I just, I it's the, it's funny actually, because when I talk to people who print, I just have to say to them, it's the clunk of when you've pressed the arm down on the press and it mm-hmm. hits the paper and the ink hits the paper and there's this clunk, there's this really satisfying clunking noise.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, yes, that's the one. So it's just like, they get it, you know. And I think the very first time I tried it and I pressed it down, that was it. I was a goner. I was sold. And I just knew that that was, I wanted to do that immediately, which is just really funny. It was just, I literally just fell in love with it in that moment. And so, yeah, so that's why the character of this particular book has ended up with the same obsession. and I've also mentioned, so there's a, I mentioned a magazine in there that is a real magazine, and a couple of, you know, and a company as well that sells ink, and, you know, so, so yeah, they're quite excited that, you know, I've mentioned them in the book as well, just because, you know, I use them. So, but yeah, it's just, yeah, it was a really fun book to write, really. 'Cause like I said, I was kind of exploring this concept of, you know, what if life was different? What if there was a, you know, had you taken a totally different path at some point? And like I said, I didn't know how it was going to end up. I didn't know what the ending would be, but it did end up quite different to how I imagined, or how I thought it might go. And it was like, nope, it's not going there. So yeah, it was quite sort of fun to write. And I think it's broken the sort of yeah, I sort of felt for a while that I'd gotten a bit stuck, that I hadn't written anything for a while, hadn't published anything of my own for a while, and I was kind of in this sort of period of time where it's just like, yeah, I need to break out of that and get writing and publishing again. So I feel like it's helped me to get past that point, because not that I had writer's block particularly, but it was just, you know, I've been so busy doing so many other things that I hadn't really given the time to actually sit and get another book done. So it feels like I've kind of broken out of that, because obviously, as you know, you've read my other books, that once the mm-hmm. Earth Angel series finished and I got to book 10, I lost the momentum, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
because book 10 came out and then I released the children's book, The Magical Fairy Door. And then I think actually what it was, and this is why this book is even more hilarious, is like there were too mm-hmm. many ideas. I've got so many different book ideas that I want to explore. I mm-hmm. didn't know which one to choose, so I just didn't write anything.
So I think that is something that happens to a lot of people, is having ideas of things that they want to either do or create or whatever, and then just not getting to any of them because it's hard. They can't decide which one to do. So I think
because it's just too
even
much.
Though not everybody that's writing, listening has written 18 books. I've only written one, and that took me long enough, you know. But my goal has never been to write a whole bunch of books or to be basically an author, as in my career being an author, but my book was just something I had to write because it was about what I'd learned that helped me love my life and be happy and hopefully spread happiness. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that Earth Angel series and the other books, every single mm-hmm. one of them, I really enjoyed reading, and they take you into looking at life from different perspectives, which I really liked a lot. And the Earth Angel series, of course, you know, I'm still thinking that it would be an amazing animated, or maybe real people, but I think animated series that could be on Netflix or Amazon or one of the other things, because it's got incredible stories, incredible visuals that just... I want to see it. I really want to see it.
And yeah.
I'm not sure if and when that's going to happen, but it's, you know, I've been realizing lately music's always been important to me. Books have always been important to me, and movies. Mm-hmm. It's like all three of them are really powerful and such incredible parts of my life, and I'm sure your life and all sorts of other people's mm-hmm. lives. So one of the things that's cool about movies, though, is it can include the music, and it can include the visuals and things like that. So I think that maybe that's a direction. Oh, you need one more thing to do, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, I need some more projects. So, I mean, I would love to, you know, that would be kind of the next step, really. I would love to see, the, you know, the stories on the screen. And as you said, everybody who's read the Earth Angel series can see it. You know, they can see it being sort of played out on the screen. And, you know, I think, and it would reach more people, you know. Not, it's funny, I realized a while back that, you know, writing books is kind of almost the hardest kind of art form, if you like, to actually reach people with, in a way, because you know, whereas you can appreciate a song or a dance, you know, in a few minutes, or you can appreciate a movie in a couple of hours, you know, a book could take, like, you know, somebody a week or two to read, you know. So it's kind of, it's kind of the longest kind of art form, if you like, and it takes quite a bit to actually get to that, you know, get that appreciation for it. And I think, yeah, so if something was in movie form, you know, you can reach so many more people. And there is one, you know, I have still got it on my list of things that I would like to create, and that obviously is the audiobook versions as well, because I do think that, again, that's a whole audience of people who, they love listening to books, but they don't read them necessarily in paper form, you know what I mean?
I think a lot of friends that have been telling me that they just listen to the Audibles or auditory books because they can be doing other things while they're doing it. One of my friends walks dogs and takes care of cats, and she listens to audiobooks during while she's going for the walks. And this other woman that is in my Toastmasters club, she was saying, oh, she loves books. I mean, she even has a book exchange thing where she gets books for kids from schools and all sorts of places, sends them all over the world. She only listens to audiobooks now because she can do other things while she's doing it. So, it's incredible, and I think that would be really amazing too, to have audios of your books as well. So,
yeah, I mean, that's kind of been the plan for 3 years now, to actually get the audiobook done, and I've done the odd sort of sample chapters and that to try and, you know, figure out how to do it. And so at some point in the hopefully near future, that is kind of, you know, that is my aim, especially with the children's book as well. You know, I think that would just, it works really well as a, you know, as a, something that's read out loud. You know, I've done, when I released the children's book and I did some readings and stuff, you know, I sat and read the first chapter or two to a little group of people, and, you know, it does really work well read out loud. And I think, yeah, that would be a great audiobook, but it is just literally the time to be able to actually get, you know, the book recorded and edited. And, you know, because for every chapter that might be sort of 15 or 20 minutes as a finished piece, it could take 2 or 3 hours to record it and edit it and, you know, to actually sort it. So it's quite a lot of time involved, and also all the technical kind of aspects of it as well. So, but yeah, I do think that, you know, audiobooks, movies, you know, it really does reach a lot more people than books generally. So, yeah, it would be good to actually sort of get to that sort of next step. Because, you know, a lot of the sort of themes and the stories that I write about and that, you know, come through, just, I do think, you know, they do help people in different ways. It's not
they help people look at life in different ways. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, one of the books in the Visionary Collection, I'm Here, for some reason, the effect that had on people was that they would look at their relationships differently, and quite a few relationships broke up because of that book.
Which book?
I'm Here.
I'm Here.
And I think it's because
I read that
the
quite a while ago.
The nature of the relationship in the book is that it's very much, you know, it's not a public relationship because of the I won't sort of give the spoiler alert, but it's not a very public relationship, but the relationship is very strong and very pure, but it's entirely just for the two of them. And I think a lot of people who read the book realized that their own relationship was very much just, you know, it was fine in public, but behind closed doors, it was terrible. And they sort of looked at the relationship in the book and they were like, actually, I want the relationship that's great behind doors. You know what I mean? Because some, you know, in some relationships, people found that, I mean, I've been in a relationship like that before where, you know, the person was very charming and very lovely in front of other people, but they weren't at home, you know. Mm. And I think it just really, like you said, made people look at their own relationships from a completely different point of view and go, actually, this isn't what I want. And yeah, quite a few people took some fairly drastic action because of that.
Well, you know, Oprah was saying too on a Zoom that I saw of hers, she was talking about the pandemic and relationships and how that she even had a relationship expert from France on it. And it was really interesting, her talking to all these, it's on YouTube so people can still see it, but I'll send you the link later if you want, or put it in on Facebook so people can see it. But it was really interesting to see how, you know, people who are living by themselves, how they're dealing with it, then also people who are living with someone that they're married to that they were getting along with, like you said, until they were stuck with them all the time, you know, and trying to work from home and all that sort of thing. So there's like, she goes through all sorts of different relationships in this thing. I think it's like a 90-minute YouTube video now or something. It started out on Zoom. It was on a Zoom through her, through Weight Watchers originally.
Right.
And, but there, she was saying that there's going to be a lot of people splitting up, a lot of babies happening, all sorts of different things with relationships, thanks to the pandemic.
Yeah, I think the divorce rate may well be going up. I think that's the thing. I mean, you know, a lot of people can stay in relationships because they have plenty of time away from each other. You know, when you're kind of stuck in a situation where you're with each other 24/7, that's quite intense. You know, most people don't actually normally have that. You know, in some relationships, people are literally like ships passing in the night. You know, they barely see each other. And that kind of works for them. But yeah, when they're then put in a situation where they, you know, you can't actually get away from them, it can cause quite a lot of problems. But yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of see what the world looks like on the other side of this. When we get there.
Yeah. Well, you know, especially if somebody's with somebody who's not kind, you know, and especially if you
exactly,
get two unkind people together and they were barely together, then they can pretend that it's okay because they can have that act going on. But if you're unkind to people all the time, at some point, the person who's being treated unkindly is not going to want to stay anymore. So,
no, and I mean, I know definitely in the UK, and I don't know if it's the same in the States, but I mean, the domestic violence rates have just gone crazy because, you know, whereas people, if they're in a bad relationship, they would have been able to go to work or, they can get out of it for a while. You know, they've been stuck there sort of constantly. And I think things have, in a way, I think it's actually raised the awareness of the issue of it. You know, generally, people need to be able to get out of these relationships safely. And, you know, so I think there's been a lot more awareness around it because people are realizing that actually, yeah, these people have no escape anymore. Not even for a few hours or whatever. So I'm hoping that the sort of awareness raised around it because of the lockdown, that it might change, that there might actually be some action taken for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know there was definitely quite a few apps and things that popped up to try and, you know, so that people could, you know, get help through these apps in a sort of safe way. Because in general, the problems, you know, the problems do get worse when somebody tries to leave, basically. And actually, that is actually one of the themes in my new book, weirdly enough. Just the idea that, you know, if you're in an abusive relationship, it's basically when the person who's being abused tries to leave that then can cause bigger problems. So there needs to be, you know, ways that they can get out. And one of the things that has been raised by the whole lockdown, the pandemic, is the idea of a universal basic income. And I think that would have been the sort of the best solution in terms of, because like I said, you know, I fell through the cracks. I didn't get any support whatsoever. My income disappeared. And if there was a universal basic income, obviously I wouldn't have had that issue. But also the other problem that it potentially solves is, you know, domestic violence, because if for a lot of people, the reason they don't leave a relationship, you know, a bad relationship is because they can't afford to.
Right.
Because they might not have their own money, or because the other person might be financially controlling everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was some kind of universal basic income, they would actually be able to afford to leave. And I think that would be quite an interesting thing to look at, you know, if they actually considered doing that, the potential issues that that would solve. If everybody
it really
kind
does
of
sound like it would,
and
I bet the abuser type people that are the controlling people that maybe have the money and try and control the person they're with wouldn't like that.
Exactly.
It would be a lot better for the other people.
Yeah, I mean, financial abuse has actually been recognized now. Mental, emotional, and financial abuse has actually been recognized as domestic violence now, which has been a fairly major thing in the last couple of years, I think, where, you know, previously it was just physical violence that they considered to be domestic violence, but now it is, you know, mental abuse, emotional abuse, and financial abuse, where they actually, you know, can hold somebody basically prisoner in the relationship by controlling the finances. So the pandemic has sort of raised a lot of questions.
I just read a novel that was that sort of thing too. You're right, and I mean the woman in it was just unable to leave because she didn't have any money. But then it finally got to be so crazy and abusive in some other more physical ways, not with her so much, but she found out he was abusing other people, other women.
Mm.
And, you know, and it, so she ended up having to leave, and then she got this little tiny house that she was staying in, and the same sort of thing. I mean, she had to rebuild, but he kept going after her. And so, yeah, that was, it's not easy sometimes to get out of those kind of relationships.
No. And I mean, that's what I mean. You know, that's why that the most dangerous part is when you try, when they try to leave. But I think, yeah, financially, that is quite a big reason for a lot of people to stay in relationships that are unhealthy, even if they're not abusive, you know, even sort of unhealthy, unhappy relationships. A lot of it comes down to money, you know, then they can't financially leave the situation. And I think, I think that kind of thing really needs to change, because obviously, you know, it's not good to have, you know, a lot of people in these situations where they feel like they have no other choice. But to stay. And, you know, if more people were able to leave those kinds of situations, then hopefully the people doing the abusing would actually also be able to get some kind of help for it as well. You know what I mean? It's a two-way thing as well, that, you know, you would hope that maybe they would be able to get help or therapy or something, so that the whole situation can be changed, really. But, yeah, so it's been quite a lot of interesting things have come up with the whole pandemic. I think people are realizing, you know, there are a lot of people who may be only one or two paychecks away from being homeless as well. You know, they have to bring in, you know, they sort of made it illegal for people to be evicted if they missed their rent, but only for 3 months. So as soon as the 3 months were up, a lot of people were evicted. You know, I had friends who were evicted during the lockdown, when it was supposedly illegal, and they still got evicted.
Wow.
Because, you know, they didn't have an income, or they, you know, they couldn't make the rent. And, you know, some people were very lucky that, you know, their landlords reduced the rent because obviously they had reduced income. But then others were just like, nope, you're just going to have to pay it, you know, and then they ended up in arrears. And so I think it's kind of making people realize just how kind of fragile the balance is. For a lot of people, you know, a lot of people don't have savings that they can rely on if their income disappears. A lot of them, it's quite, and then, like I said, with the whole, you know, self-employed thing, they brought in very restrictive sort of guidelines of who was actually eligible for help and who wasn't.
I don't know if you've noticed, but the United States is in a real mess right now, too, because of our leadership causing so much hatred and divisiveness. And I'm hoping and praying that people can vote for, get out and vote and vote for change, you know, so that we can have leaders that are kind and not divisive and understand that Black Lives Matter and that, you know, the whole thing. I'm praying for it. You know, we've only got 5 minutes left. Can you believe it?
I know. Where did that go?
Oh, gosh. I knew we would have plenty of things to talk about. I just wanted to say also, though, that, well, tonight, I'm Toastmasters Club. I'm Toastmaster, and I chose the theme. I heard to have the theme be Leaving a Legacy. And
mm-hmm.
I love the quote by Maya Angelou that says, "Your legacy is every life you touch." She had said that to Oprah. And
mm-hmm.
when I think about the legacy of all the lives you're touching, Michelle, with your books and even with your interviews and with helping publish other people's books, I think it's pretty amazing and pretty awesome. What advice do you have?
Yeah.
What advice do you have for our listeners about living your music and about leaving a legacy?
I suppose for me, it wasn't really necessarily a choice to, you know, to write stories,
mm-hmm.
to write books, but it has very much been a choice on the whole publishing side of them, I suppose. I mean, I've always written things, but there was part of me that, you know, didn't really see the point of writing unless it reached people, you know, unless people read it, it seems a little bit pointless.
Mm-hmm.
But writing has always been very much a calling and not so much a choice. And I think if more people listen to that calling, and like I said, the music within, you know, if you
mm-hmm.
really listen to what you're supposed to do and do that thing, no matter what it is, no matter how crazy it sounds to other people, then yeah, you will make a sort of a difference if that's what you want to do, or you will just be fully living your life and therefore inspiring other people as a result of that. And yeah, I think just more people just need to follow their own path, whatever that is. And I think as well, if you want to reach people and if you want to make a difference, that even if you literally make a difference to one person, then that's enough. You know, because if every person makes a difference to one other person, then that ripple effect is massive. And yeah, I think that's
well,
yeah,
you know,
essentially people just need to listen.
I have a stack of cards that you sent me here that I just love. And the one that I love the most is the one that says, "Every time we smile at a stranger, create a piece of art, or commit a random act of kindness, we're living our purpose on this earth, from the twin flame resurrection." And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, my mom was a good example of that. She's been an angel, as you know, since 2006. And she,
mm-hmm.
but she's still inspiring me and Xander and Dudley
yeah.
and my husband and all the people who knew her, because she was so kind and would do random acts of kindness, not necessarily
mm-hmm.
random on purpose, but, you know, she was just
yeah.
kind. And I really feel like that's what we need more of in this world, is more people who are willing to be kind. And
yeah.
Well, hopefully your book, when it comes out, will also help people remember that they can take a look at their own reality and think about what other choices they can or could make in their life and be happier. You know, that's one of the things I've always wanted to do, be happy and spread happiness. And it sounds
and also
like...
be happy where you are, in whatever, you know, wherever you are, in whatever moment you're in, whatever the situation is around you, just, like I said, just be happy in that moment and just,
yeah.
appreciate whatever is around you.
And gratitude has so much to do with that. I keep coming back to gratitude and appreciation. Feel and express your gratitude, appreciation, and love. That, you know, that really reminds you that no matter what's going on for you, you do have things to be grateful for and to appreciate.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. Well, thank you for being on my show again, and thank you for writing all of your books. I'm really looking forward to this one. Girl who loved too much.
Too much.
Yeah,
too much.
I can relate. Okay, everyone out there, figure out what your music is and get out there and live your music in any way you can. Live your music. Thank you
Absolutely.
For being on my show again, Michelle, and thanks for
Thank
all
you
do.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, we always have a great time.
Yeah, you're welcome. You are an Earth Angel, and I'm so glad to know you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everyone, share this show with your friends and family and read that book. And also check into all of Michelle Gordon's other books on her website, michellegordon.co.uk. Bye for now, everyone. Thank
bye.
You. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Live your music, and bye.